If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Most of the people I've invested with, I got to know via podcasts. I've attended several boot camps online, as well as regularly attending network events.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Arn Sandella has 42 years of experience in real estate. He's owned real estate in California, Virginia, Texas, South Carolina. He's done fix and flips. He's done rental property, condominium conversions, land subdivisions. You name it, Arn has done it. He also is a passive investor in multiple syndication opportunities and has an eye towards growing his active investments in the multifamily space. Hey, Arn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam. Great to be here. Look forward to speaking with you and hopefully helping your listeners on their investing journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited to jump in because I don't really know your story that well. I know what you're investing in currently, but I don't really know kind of your backstory. So if you can kind of give us the same three questions I always ask everyone, you know, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Okay, great. Great questions. Happy to kind of share my story. So I was a pretty typical kid, went to school, went to grad school. I did well in school. I got a master's degree in physical chemistry, thought I was going to be a professor or a scientist, but wanted to return to the San Francisco Bay Area where I was born and raised. And my dad just happened to have a residential brokerage company. So I returned to the Bay Area and started reselling residential real estate in 1978. So that's 40, 44 years ago. And I've basically been involved full-time in real estate brokerage and investing since 1978. I've built a pretty reasonably sized rental portfolio, primarily single family homes, 2 to 4 unit buildings, both in the Bay Area and elsewhere in the country, particularly Austin, Texas, and Charlottesville, Virginia. And then in 2014, my girlfriend and I picked up and moved across country, and we're now in Greenville, South Carolina, which we love. Great market here, great place to invest. So I've kind of been transferring my holdings here. And then right at the outbreak of COVID, a young investor friend of mine from Greenville called me up and said, "Hey, Arn, what do you think is going to happen with rent collections due to COVID?" And I said, "Mario, I don't know. We'll have to, let's wait till April 1, because this was middle of March when he called. And so he finished up and he said, "Hey, I just listened to this great podcast from a noted West Coast syndicator about COVID and the impact on the multifamily market." Sent me the podcast. I listened to it. And that kind of switched a light bulb off in my head and got me started thinking about the advantages of multifamily investing versus single family rental house investing. And I decided to kind of implement and change in my investing strategy. So over this 2020 through COVID and all this craziness, I've been moving my equity from single family rental homes into multifamily investments, both as a limited partner and as a general partner. Quite excited to do that. I did it primarily for two reasons. One, the multifamily gives me better cash flow than my single family homes did. And two, with the multifamily investments and professional property management and scale, I have far fewer day-to-day management responsibilities. And that's a big thing to me. I'm 66 years old. I've been doing this a long time and I enjoy my life, and there are a lot of activities I love to do other than, say, manage tenants and deal with that sort of thing. So 2020 has been a major shift in my investing. I've started Spark Investment Group to help other small property landlords make the shift into multifamily, and have learned quite a bit from podcasts like yours and others. And I'm just consuming education and learning as we go.
Right. No, that's great. I love the fact that we're catching you in the early stages of scaling. I think a lot of times when, not always, but a lot of times when we hear podcasts, we'll hear the guests come on. They're like, yeah, man, you know, I went out and I blew the doors off and I bought the whole country and now I'm a trillionaire. And really we just keep, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. And you're like, wait, so, but something had to occur between when you weren't a trillionaire and now you are. So I like the fact that we're catching you early. What are some things in 2020 as you have both scaled your active investments? We'll stick with active and passive just so we don't, you know, confuse maybe some people who don't know what LPs and GPs and all the splits and all that stuff works. Let's stick with active and passive. What are some things that you've learned along the way as you've both become an active investor this year and also a passive investor?
Let me start with the passive, because to be quite honest, I've been more successful making passive investments. As you well know, the multifamily market's extremely competitive. Sourcing deals is very difficult. I'm currently in contract on a 12-unit building I'll buy for my own account here in the upstate of South Carolina. Looking at a 16-unit building a little bit later this afternoon. So I'm actively pursuing the active investment kind of 16 to 25 units kind of purchase price, 1 to 2 million. So that is still an ongoing journey, and I hope before the end of the year to close my first active investment. So I'm really new on that journey. It's been frustrating, but it's worth the prize. And you kind of got to get your feet wet and kind of know where you sit to make intelligent decisions. On the passive investments, I have made to date 5 passive investments, 1 in North Carolina, 2 in South Carolina, 1 in Colorado, 1 in Idaho. So I've been able to diversify my portfolio into the Mountain West and the Southeast, which, as you know, both are very strong growth markets. People are moving there, jobs are being created. And the other nice thing about the passive investing is I've been able to do 1 or 2 Class A type properties, 2 Class B properties, and now I'm adding some Class C value add. So I think as a passive investor, you have a great opportunity to diversify both in market and asset class. And for me, I think when the world gets crazy, which is maybe the new normal, I don't know, we could discuss that. It's good to be diversified in different markets with different type tenant demographics and buildings. Most of the people I've invested with, I got to know via podcasts. I've attended several boot camps online, as well as regularly attending network events. And I need to get to know the sponsor. I need to feel some element of trust with the sponsor, and that we kind of view investing and so forth in a similar manner. We don't have to agree items A through Z, but there has to be some kind of consensus as to what the approach is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you've touched on the passive investing side. You know, I too invest passively. Those are some things that you've got to look at. And like you said, you've got to find the things that you agree on with these, you know, sponsors of these deals. I have passed on many a deal simply because I just knew there was not an alignment of values. So I think you've yes. said it, but you got to find an alignment of values if you're going to plunk your hard-earned money down with somebody passively and trust them with it.
Yes, it's a 5 to 7 year commitment. And I think their approach and business plan has to make sense to you. And I'm kind of an old school guy, and there's the old expression, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So anytime I see rates of return and IRRs that are 2 or 3 points above the market, I'm a little skeptical, and I look at that more closely. So it kind of has to make sense to me, and it has to be based on some kind of reasonable evaluation and expectations.
Right. And if it's a good sponsor, I've even done this before where I have asked for their Excel underwriting spreadsheet. I want a copy of the exact final, like, you know, obviously when you're doing underwriting, the numbers shift as you go. Your loan value can change. Your leverage values can change. The amount of capital can change. Rent rolls can change. If you do rent audits, things like that. But I want the finalized version of your projections in an Excel sheet. I want to see those on my own computer so I can manipulate the numbers myself and see if, you know, and of course you got to learn their spreadsheet, but see if it lines up. So,
yes, you have to have and that's where folks like us can help other investors, because this is kind of what we do 24/7. We see investment packages, we play with the numbers, and there is kind of an art about looking at the numbers, because the truth is you can make a spreadsheet say whatever you want it to say.
Right.
You can tweak the exit cap a little bit and a horrible deal looks great and vice versa. So I think you're exactly right. For me, the secret sauce is when you adjust some of those numbers slightly and then you see what the impact is on the overall return, you then kind of get a much better sense of how the whole deal is put together. And is it actually plausible, or is it kind of trying to catch a knife on its edge, or whatever the expression is? I have kind of rules of thumb that I go by. I mean, if the expense ratio isn't close to 50%, that takes another look at me, or I take another look at that. So you develop some kind of rules of thumb, and then you just got to really kind of dive down deep. And I would say if the sponsor won't share that with you, that's a potential red flag. That would be like, why not?
Right. And that goes back to alignment of values. If your sponsor has nothing to hide, they're going to say, hey, man, and I've had them do that. Just hand you the spreadsheet. Hey, you know, knock yourself out. You got any questions in the meantime, let us know. And we can, you know, we can help justify some of those underwriting assumptions. Because you're absolutely right. The final product, the exit, especially the exit cap rate, I mean, that's just speculation. It's pure speculation based on historical trends, but it's still not, I mean, you know, and that you change that a half a point and suddenly you have a very different deal on your hands.
I worked some numbers last night on a deal. It was a $4 million cash investment, and changing the exit cap less than 1%, 0.7%, made a difference in net return of $1.4 million. So when you're talking a difference of $1.4 million return to the investors on a $4 million investment simply by tweaking the cap rate a little bit, that shows you kind of the significance. And the truth is, none of us know what the market will be like in 5 years. We won't know what the economy's doing. We won't know what interest rates are doing. There's certain industry standards that one uses in preparing these spreadsheets and analysis. As an investor, I think it's important to kind of understand, okay, here are the assumptions that go into this spreadsheet. So then you know, okay, if these assumptions prove true, then this property should perform in this manner. If one of the assumptions proves not to be true, then again, you can accept that. So, okay, this didn't happen, and I see that impacted the total return on the property. There wasn't any malfeasance. It's just job growth slowed a little bit or whatever it happens to be. So I think that's really important.
Sure. No, absolutely. That's a great piece of advice, either not just as a passive investor, but also as an active investor, you know, to play out all those scenarios. If you're scaling your real estate holdings and you're just painting, you know, roses and sunshine as the possible scenarios, you know, stress testing those numbers is crucial when it comes to underwriting. And if that's not done or done improperly, that can really impact the outcome of the project as a whole and slow down your scaling.
Yes. You know, if you see a cap rate sensitivity analysis and the spread that they show in the little chart is plus or minus 0.2%, right? that's not really what you want to know. I would rather see what is it plus or minus a percent, plus or minus 1.5%. So if you make the range so small, it's not really going to tell you what you need to know.
Right. That's absolutely right. Arm, we're running out of time, as we typically do on this podcast, because it's just too short. Look forward to having you back on. But let's jump into the final four questions, because I don't want to miss those. If you were to give one piece of advice to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
I'll give them one or two. Educate, build a foundation, take it step by step. I think people get hurt if they get ahead of themselves. So I'm kind of more a slow and steady guy.
Gotcha. What's one thing you're doing right now to stay on top of your game?
Networking like crazy, talking to as many people as I can, both on social media, on the cell phone, meeting with people as best I can during COVID. So in multifamily, I'd say in commercial real estate, the personal networking is so, so important. If you're not doing that, you're just not going to make a splash.
Right. Absolutely. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, I'm an avid golfer, so I am a volunteer at the First Tee organization, which teaches young kids, beginning golfers, golf, but more the purpose of the golf is a mechanism and a tool to teach values like character and integrity and honesty and personal responsibility. So I enjoy doing that. Golf's a passion of mine. I played for 58 years now, and it's great working with the young people doing that.
That's fantastic. Arn, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to reach you?
So my business name is Spark Investment Group. Website is investwithspark.com. You could reach me at arn@investwithspark.com or my cell, which I've kept from the Bay Area, is 650-575-6114.
Arn, thanks for coming on today. It was a pleasure to have you on and learn so much about what you're doing. I look forward to doing it again soon.
That would be great. Love to come back in a year, and you can kind of give me a report card, and enjoyed meeting you and enjoy having you in the same group that we're in professionally.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.